Well, in order to do what he did, he gave us everything that we need to succeed. We lack no good thing when it comes to doing what he wants us to do. Amen? And we can still do things that they did in the book of Acts.
Amen.
But the key is this. We have to know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. We have to yield ourselves. How do you yield? You say, Father, here I am, use me. And how, whatever the Father says, you say, okay. Say this with me. Say, yes, Lord. Whatever he asks you, say, yes, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I have several directions that I can go, but we're going to go this direction. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps you, particularly in prayer. How many know that we have a helper?
Yes.
Go with me to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. That doesn't mean that he does everything. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how do you activate his help? Do you is it through being a good person you activate his help? If that were true, then we couldn't be saved because it's not by our own works. But after you're saved, there's some things that he wants you to do. Amen? We participate with his help by faith. So that means anybody, anywhere that has faith can tap in and plug in with the Holy Spirit to benefit from his power. And how many know that God has given us the measure of faith? Everybody has been given. You know, like if you need a cup of flour to bake a cake, God gives you the measure of faith. He gives you the faith that you need to believe that you can receive.
Amen.
And in John 14, in verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long?"
Forever.
Okay? Now here's how this works. Jesus prays, the Father sends, and the Comforter proceeds. Okay? So, and then look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That word comforter also means helper. How many has received help from a comforter? It could be a cold atmosphere, and that comforter brings warmth. Just in that sense. Amen? But then when you're going through a rough time, a comforter comes along and encourages you and helps you. Amen? They stand by your side. You know, if you're trying to lift something heavy and you're not moving it, someone comes along and gives you leverage. Amen? With leverage, then you can move. The Holy Ghost gives you leverage. When you face things that are too big for you to handle, he comes alongside of you. He gives you leverage. He's like the tire iron. You can't loosen those lug nuts with your hands, but that tire iron, it gives you leverage, and it causes you to loosen those lug nuts to replace the tire. Oh my goodness, he is your tire iron. So, who is he? He's the Spirit of Truth, okay? He wrote this book. And since he wrote it, He abides by it, and then we need to abide by it too. Okay? You can know him. Say, I can know the Holy Spirit. He's not someone way out here. He's someone right here. He is close. Okay? Let me ask the ladies that have given birth. When that baby started to grow on the inside of you, you started to get real familiar with it, right? If it moved, if it kicked, when you ate something or when you wanted to eat something, right? What was in you affected your behavior. Now, just like a pregnant woman who carries that baby for 9 months, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ, he's been implanted in us. Amen? So just like a woman who's pregnant can get familiar with, you know, with the baby on the inside, we can become familiar with the Holy Spirit. Because he's in us. Okay? He dwells with us and he will be in us. He'll teach you all things. He'll help you remember the things Jesus said to you. I touched on some of these last week. Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, also daughters. Does that mean that everybody is led by the Spirit? You have to allow him to lead you. Do this exercise with me. Everybody stand up. Put your right hand up in the sky. Put it down. Look to your right side. What am I doing? I'm leading you. I'm giving you direction. And see, everybody responded. That's how we need to respond. You guys can sit down. That's how we need to respond to the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you directions. He's going to show you. Listen, he's the master strategist. He knows how to fight every battle. And let me tell you, don't just rely on your experience to fight battles. Come on. Even though the enemy doesn't change his tactics, but the Holy Spirit has many tactics to come against the enemy. So don't get so used to doing things by your experience. The Bible didn't say as many as are led by the experience, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by who? What that means is you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That means before you make a decision to take a particular direction, you better get his advice. You better get his input. And you do that through prayer, by asking God. Amen? Good fathers want to give good directions or good advice to their children. Being led by the Spirit is a distinguishing factor or characteristic of God's children. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they, in other words, the ones who allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, they're the sons of God. Because you realize that he's God. Okay? Let's go to John chapter 16. I'm just telling you that he's here to help you. The Holy Spirit is not against you. He's for you. He is your greatest encourager. He's your best cheerleader. Because he created you. He knows you best. Because you're made in his image and in his likeness. He is most familiar with you. And he's here to help you. Verse 13, John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All right, he always glorifies Jesus. He'll always be in agreement with Jesus. He declares the things of God to you. He'll guide you in life. He can reveal things about your future. You know what God's word says? You're going to live and not die to proclaim the goodness of God. You know how God's got a bright future for you. Do you see your bright future? If you don't, be like Jabez. Say, Lord, expand my territory. He saw himself bigger than what he was. He was labeled Jabez because he caused his mother pain in childbirth. But he refused to accept the label that was put on him. And he said, pray that I would be a blessing so that I would not cause pain. You can read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, or 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It's one of the Chronicles. But, and the Bible said God heard his prayer. You know, God made his greatest investment in you, in his son Jesus. He invested his very best into you. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps bring a return on that investment. As you cooperate with the Holy Ghost, he helps you be the best. He helps you to activate that investment that God put in you. Amen? He brings out, he's like the fertilizer. He's the water. He's the sunlight. Okay? Those are things that without those, the plants aren't going to really produce what they should. Okay. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Well, we better read 26 and then 32. Romans chapter 8. Say the Holy Spirit has been given to me to help me. He's here to help you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What's an infirmity? It's a weakness. Okay? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many has ever counted something when you didn't know how to pray? Okay? But I love it when God butts in. The Spirit, now some Bibles say itself, it should say himself. He's not an it, he is a person. The Spirit himself makes intercession for who? For us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So if you know how to pray in the Holy Spirit, you can actually pray out God's perfect will without knowing how to pray, because he'll pray for you, but you've got to hook up with him. You've got to connect with him. Okay? Why? He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you don't know what to pray or how to pray, you can hook up with the Holy Spirit and God's will be prayed out perfectly. Because when you pray in the Spirit, the devil has no idea what you're saying. Neither does your mind. Amen? Now, look at this. Go down to verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, what? Freely give us what? How many like free things? Now, when God gives you something free, that doesn't mean it's cheap. Because he's an El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now that's a really good place to get excited. Okay? Let's go to... So the Holy Spirit... He reveals the mysteries of God to us. Because some things in God's word are a mystery, right? But when you know the Holy Spirit, they no longer remain a mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is the power behind everything that God does. Okay? Here's what Paul said in verse 4. Because he came to this group of people in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. In verse 4, he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." You could be the slickest talker that you could be, but that's not how God reveals his truth. Okay? But... in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God likes to demonstrate by the Holy Spirit his power. God is not afraid to show how strong he is. Amen? God likes to demonstrate his power to his people. Look at what he did to Pharaoh in Egypt. God demonstrated himself, right? Finally, God provided Pharaoh with such a picture that he had to let the people go. Okay? Why should we... Look at what he says in verse 5. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Don't say, I'm believing because of what Pastor Doug said. Uh-uh. That's putting your faith in me. If you do that, it's not going to work, whatever it is you're trying to believe for. Your faith has to be in the power of God. Amen. I said this before, but you don't have to understand how a miracle works, the inner workings of a miracle, in order for a miracle to happen in your life. All you have to do is believe that he's a miracle worker. Now, it's a lot easier for me to believe that he's a miracle worker than try to figure out how a miracle works. I just know that they do. I just know that our Lord Jesus, he's a miracle worker. He's a wonder worker. He does signs and wonders in the earth, and he is awesome. And when I see him work, I stand in awe of him. Amen? And I expect him to work in every area of my life every day. Amen? Say this with me. Say, I expect the Lord to work in my life every day and every way. Say it again. Say, I believe that the Lord Jesus can work in my life every day and every way. Say, I'm expecting him to work. Amen. We got to expect God to work. That's what it means to have faith in his power. How many would expect... If I plug something into this plug, let's say if I took that lamp that's in the sound booth and I plugged it in, how many would expect that lamp to turn on? Okay? Why? Why do you expect that lamp to turn on? Because we have evidence that there's power in the building, right? And we know that this plug is designed to as a power connector. That when you connect to this, that there's power available to do whatever you plug into it. Amen. Amen? So I want you to know this. There is power available to do whatever you plug into God to do. There's power to save you, power to heal you, power to deliver you, power to set you free, power to raise you from the dead, power to open blind eyes, power to cause the lame to walk. There's power to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. There's power to put you at peace. All hell could be breaking loose in your life, but you'd be like, see, don't you know that all hell's breaking loose? No, I just know the peace of God. The Bible says he gives you peace that what? Passes understanding. Now, so we say, my faith is in the power of God. Okay? Now, what kind of words will help or aid God's power? Faith words. All right? You mean, you know, if Jesus would have come to Lazarus's tomb, and if he would have said, I sure hope this works, would that have affected Lazarus coming out? What did Jesus say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. He, prior to going there, he told his disciples that he's just sleeping. Okay? What did he say to the storm that rose up in the middle of the sea? Did he talk about how big that storm was? Matter of fact, he was what? He was sleeping. It was his disciples that got a little nervous. And he woke up and he said, how long shall I be with you? What did he say to the storm? He said, he rebuked the storm. He said, peace be still, didn't he? A positive statement. It aided the power. If you want negative things to happen in your life, then speak negative words. Because they have power too, don't they? Okay. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Jesus did this. He spoke in parables. And people who wanted to learn got the answer. People who didn't care to learn, they were like, what are you talking about? Okay? Don't have time to go into that. But that's what he's talking about. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. If they'd have known that the Holy Ghost was going to come on the whole earth and the blood was going to save everybody, they wouldn't have crucified him. If they'd have known that he was going to raise from the dead, that his blood was going to have such power, they wouldn't have crucified him. But, you know, there's a reason why God keeps some things a secret. Because there's a timing element to them, not to God, but to us in the earth. Okay, verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, God's got some things prepared for me. And I want you to notice the things that God has prepared for you, they don't come naturally. They don't come with your physical eyes or your physical ears. So how do they come? How do you know what God has prepared for you? Verse 10, but God, see, I love it when God butts in. Has, notice, he didn't say is going to, did he? He's not going to reveal, has revealed them unto who? Us, by who? By the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God uses the Holy Spirit as a divine network to show you what he has planned for you. Amen? What he has prepared for you. I want you to know that God has prepared for every one of us to live. Well, how am I going to get to heaven if I live and not die? Listen, if Jesus tarries, you're going to die, but dying is not the end. Dying is the next phase. Because when you're absent from the body, where are you? So even in death, as a Christian, death has no sting. Okay? Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Ghost knows a lot of things. Matter of fact, he knows everything. Okay? And you have access to his knowledge. Okay? This is a way that he helps you. He reveals things to you. How did Peter know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You know, Peter didn't go study theology. He studied fish. He went to fishing school. But he knew something by revelation. And it was the revelation that is the rock that the gospel is built on. Peter is a pebble. He's not the rock that the gospel was built on. It was the revelation that God gave him. Amen? Amen? Okay. Verse 12. We haven't received the spirit of the world. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Okay. But we have received the spirit which is of God. That what? Why did we receive the Spirit? That we might know the things that have been what? In order to know that you're saved, it's through the Holy Spirit. Isn't salvation a free gift? Well, you know what? Healing is just as much a free gift as salvation. Finding the will of God is just as much a gift as salvation is. But you got to know the Holy Spirit to know what belongs to you, to know what's been given to you. You can have an intimate, personal relationship with the Holy Ghost. You can have a divine connection with the Holy Ghost because he's in you. When you go to sleep, he's in you. When you wake up, he's in you. When you're at the breakfast table, he's in you. When you go to work, he's in you. Amen. But too many times, he's like a tree in winter. A tree in winter is alive, but what? It's dormant. See, he's in there, but he's only in there to help, but you've got to activate his help by faith. If you're not living by faith, then he's in there doing nothing. Amen? Is that true? But notice how we speak about these things. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How do you know if God is real? Any thoughts? How do you know if God is real? What do you have that's spiritual that you can compare with God being real? Isn't the Bible spiritual? Isn't it written that he's real? So this is the evidence. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So the Bible is spiritual. All right? So we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. When we have an experience, If we want to know whether it's of God or not, compare it with the experiences that people had in the Word. If we want to know if healing is real, compare it with the experiences that we have in God's Word. I call to the stand Isaiah 53:5. Because I'm, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm here to prove to you that healing belongs to us. I call as my witness Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah, what do you have to say? By his stripes you are healed. I call Mark 9:35. He went about all the villages teaching, preaching, and healing all who were sick. Amen. See, what happens is when you encounter a challenge in life, you got to take that which is spiritual to compare it with spiritual. Amen. Call witnesses. Didn't the disciples say we are eyewitnesses of these things? They saw what Jesus did. They heard what he said. They experienced his power. Verse 14. But the natural man, what does the natural man receive? Nothing. What does it mean to be a natural man? I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe this chair exists until I feel it. Until I see it with my eyes. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe that the Lord rose from the dead until I can touch his wounds. That's what it means to be natural. Nothing against Thomas, but did Jesus call Thomas blessed? Did he allow him to touch him, though? He met Thomas where he was. He allowed Thomas to touch him, but he said, blessed are those who believe and don't see. So if you're spending your life walking in the natural, what that means is, in other words, your feelings, your emotions, and your senses, they govern your behavior. It's going to be very hard for you to receive spiritual things. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can connect with the Holy Ghost right now. How do you connect with the Holy Ghost? You do it by faith. You're saved not by works of your own self, but you're saved by grace through faith. Because you believe, your belief in what Jesus did gives you access to what he's done for you. Okay? But he that is spiritual, verse 15, he judges all things. Yes, he himself is judged by no man because he is comparing everything with the Word of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. That tells me that the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
Even though his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we can think his thoughts. Did you know that when God reveals truth to you, you could walk in that truth? How many doubt that they're saved here today? Do I have anybody that doubts that you're saved? Why don't you doubt that you're saved? Because what? Yeah, the Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And I also have a witness in my heart of the Holy Spirit. Like when NASA puts a satellite, that satellite sends back a signal. To let NASA know that it's on the right course, it's on the right orbit. They can monitor that satellite because that satellite sends back a signal. Amen? We've got the Holy Spirit who's sending us a signal. He bears witness with your heart that you're a son of God, that you're a daughter of God. He bears witness with us. Amen. There's a divine connection on the inside of us because we're going by the Spirit. The Spirit of God He is the power behind everything that God does. He demonstrates the power of God. He does miracles. He is the power behind the gospel. He moves mountains. He fills you with power. He confirms the word of the Lord. He's the power behind good teaching. When Jesus taught, the people said, he teaches with authority. You'd be like, ooh, there's something about that teaching. Mike, I want you to come up. Hallelujah. If you need God to touch your body, he not only wants to touch you, he wants to make you whole. Amen? He's about to undergo a procedure. All right? This procedure is supposed to be on Friday.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But Joyce, I want you to come up here too. Stand by your man. See, God's power, he wants to not only make us whole, but he wants to keep our heart and our mind focused on Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for these two spiritual beings. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we lay hands on Mike, Father, we simply believe in the power of God. Father, we simply believe that your power can correct that which is not wrong, that which is wrong in his body, Father. It was found by the doctors, Lord. They found something that's not right in his body, that doesn't belong there, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that by the power of God, Lord, you do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't have to explain it. We just have to believe that we receive it in the name of Jesus. May the power of God, Father, go into his body in the name of Jesus and bring life to every dead cell, Father, to make alive. I pray, Lord, that you would breathe in him, Father, in the name of Jesus. With the Holy Ghost, may he experience the power and the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. Father, give him a double dose of the Holy Ghost. May he be filled to overflowing. May he speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make a melody in his heart to God, giving thanks unto God for all things. Lord, I thank you for your hand of blessing and protection upon him in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe God and we've acted on your word. For now, it's up to you, Father, to demonstrate by your Holy Spirit and power in the name of Jesus. Show yourself strong to his body, Father. Oh, I speak strength to this body. I speak life to this body. I speak health to this body in the name of Jesus. Anything in this body that's there that doesn't belong, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Father, recreate that part in his body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch him right now with the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. You need a touch in your body? God's power is here. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. See, you don't need to be sick to die. You know, you can simply go to sleep. You don't have to let sickness take your life to be with Jesus. Beloved, this is what he said in 3 John 2. Beloved, you're his beloved. He said, I wish, I desire above all things, two things, that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Your soul prospering is you receiving the word of God and practicing it. We know that Jesus healed people. So by him healing people, we know it's his will to heal people. He never did anything that wasn't God's will. Jesus came to show us the will of the Father. He forgave people. That means it's God's will for people to be forgiven. Don't care what they did. It could be the most worst, most horrible thing ever, but they can be forgiven if they so choose. This is doing the works of Jesus. You know, you don't have to be a minister to lay hands on the sick. Matter of fact, the word minister just means servant. We got any servants in here? Yes. You're all servants. That's right. How many here have hands? Put your hands in the air. You can lay these hands on sick people, and the Bible says just by laying your hands on them, they can recover. Right. Why? Because you're a power carrier. You have a Holy Ghost generator on the inside of you. How do I know that? John 7:37. He who comes to me and drink and is thirsty will drink, and out of his belly will what? Flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, because the Spirit was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. So a hydroelectric dam generates power by moving water. So it's significant that he said rivers of living water should come out of your innermost being, because a river generates power. You know, Jude 20 says, beloved, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. You build yourself up spiritually. You know, because you need to be strong spiritually. Because there's a proverb that said, a wounded spirit, who could bear? When you're weak spiritually, the devil has a greater opportunity to attack you naturally. Because a weak spirit cannot resist the attack. But when you're strong spiritually, the devil will say, you know, Mike, I know, Caleb, I know, but who are you? Right? Why? Because Paul, he was strong spiritually. See, when you're strong spiritually, you have authority over the devil. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Over the devil.
Over the devil.
The devil should not never get an upper hand on you, because he should be under your feet. How is he under your feet? Because Jesus gave you the victory that he got. If you read Colossians, he said he stripped him of all authority and power, and he made a show of him openly. When Jesus rose from the dead, the whole angels, all the demons, they saw that the devil was stripped of his authority, his power, his anointing, his ability to act against the saints of God.
Amen.
Jesus stripped him. Jesus defeated him. Jesus conquered him. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he went to the hardware store and made us copies. And he did that. He called you out of darkness. Why? So that you could show forth his glory. God wants you to showcase his glory, his power. And his power is for everyday life. Jesus ministered along the beach. He ministered in the marketplace. He ministered in people's homes. There wasn't a place. He ministered in the synagogue. Everywhere he went. Say this, I'm a revival going somewhere to happen. How do you start a fire? Are you the spark? Be the spark. Let God ignite your heart with passion and love for him. I believe in miracles. But one thing about miracles, we're not supposed to live by miracles. See, the problem is we get in such bad shape that we need a miracle. We need a miracle because we're not living by faith like we should. The Bible says live by faith. It didn't say live by miracles. That doesn't mean that, you know, miracles are great. But, you know, God never says, you know, I'm going to do, he can do a miracle anytime. Amen? But we got a work to do. And the number one work that we have to do is reach people. You have to be a light. You may be the only Jesus to some people. Think about that. How many don't want to go, are glad they're not going to hell? Then we ought to take that same thing and make sure that others don't go to hell either. Amen. We need some people who will stand in the gap for others that so they don't go to hell. Pray for every one of your family members. You can intercede. You don't know what to pray for? Pray, hook up with the Holy Spirit. He'll pray out God's perfect will. Amen. Just tell the Holy Ghost, sick them. Grab a hold of them. Do what you got to do to bring them in. But just purpose in your heart that no one in your sphere of influence, make sure that everyone in your sphere of influence knows about Jesus. Well, they may not receive it. It doesn't matter. Just share, just be the gospel to them. Amen? What's a gospel? It means to go spell it out. Go spell. Did you know that you could be God's spell checker? All right. Let me just recap this. The Holy Spirit, he's here to help you. And he does that by revealing God's mysteries to you. And then he's your power generator. And he'll help you. You know, you gotta fill yourself up so that you can give something out. And I'm just going to refer to this and then I'm going to close. When God wanted to anoint a king, Saul had sinned and he lost the kingdom. Even though he still served as king after that, but as far as God was concerned, spiritually, he lost the kingdom. And he gave access to the devil, and there was an evil spirit that came and tormented Saul because of his disobedience. So God wanted to anoint a new king. And at that time, Samuel was the man to anoint the next king. But God told Samuel this. He said, go fill your horn with oil and go. Your horn represents authority. You have been authorized by Jesus Christ himself because he said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And when he said he has all authority, he said, now you go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Say, I'm a disciple maker. And a history maker. Make someone's history by giving them the gospel, making them a disciple. Amen. Don't just get them converted. You know, when a person gets saved, they're going to need nurturing. They're going to need care. They're going to need help. Amen. Amen? But all this, everything that God calls us to do is done through the Holy Spirit. We can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He wants his gifts to flourish. You know, his gifts are there for everyone to profit by. And he operates the gifts. He just needs us to yield to the gifts. How many would be willing to prophesy if the Holy Spirit comes on you? Would you be willing to give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? How about if God opened your eyes to see angels or demons? Or if you speak in tongues and interpret those tongues. Amen? We need to do these things. I'll have to get more into the gifts sometime. But we have such an opportunity to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And he is so gentle. He will help you along the way. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll take you by the hand. He'll work with you. The Bible said in Mark 16, as the disciples went out, Jesus worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. How did they do that? By the Holy Spirit. He was from heaven, but because him and the Holy Spirit and the Father, they're all God, he was working with them through the Holy Spirit, confirming his word. Amen? Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm here to bring Jesus to people. And no matter what else you do in life, you can bring Jesus to people wherever you are. And that's what we need to be doing. And it all comes by cooperating with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Just, you know, when you go to bed tonight, ask yourself this. Say, Father, did I do everything that the Holy Spirit wanted me to do today? When you get up in the morning, say, Father, what do you have planned for me today? Show me by your Holy Spirit. He'll reveal it. He'll show you. Just connect with him. Walk with him. Amen? He won't lead you astray. Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight, that we can gather in your name, hear the word of God, see the demonstration of your Holy Spirit and power. And Lord, I thank you that we can work together with the Holy Spirit. We can cooperate with him. We can follow his instructions. We can do what he wants us to do. We can know your will. Father, we can be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.